Welcome back to Saga, slow news from a quiet island. This is Caitlin Meeks. Thanks for staying with us. Chapter 3, Maddie. Location? The nook behind Anna's kitchen, Querencia de los Helicos, Tenerife. The same spring morning, 2041. Anna looked at Saga. Would you like to talk to her? By her, Anna meant Maddie. Saga had been talking to Maddie since she was 6. The first conversation was a question about why the moon had a face on it, asked one rainy afternoon when Saga was sent up to Anna's with a packet of fennel seed and stayed because the rain was sideways. Maddie explained the moon's face for 14 messages and then asked Saga whether she'd like to know about the other side. The back of the moon, which did not have a face. Saga stayed for 3 more hours. Saga nodded. Yes, may I? Go right on in. She's up. Anna took the bundle of roots to the table, got started with a peeler, and nodded towards the hallway. Saga walked the short hallway to the back room, through the indigo norin, which did its small parting motion around her shoulders, and settled back into shape behind her. The back room had once been a stable for 2 donkeys. Anna referred to it as the nook. Inside was a bench, 2 old monitors, a keyboard Saga had used since she was small, a row of external drives with handwritten labels, a few cardboard boxes of old parts, and a west-facing window. Maddie was nestled atop a heavy wooden table against the stone and plaster wall in a half-height server cabinet. She was a nondescript silver-and-white box, with the slow, thoughtful pulse of a white activity LED at the front. Below that, rack-mounted boxes of devices, several of them blinking, with cables running out the back. On the server rack, slightly off-center, were 3 stickers. One was a strip of plain white card in Anna's handwriting, "This machine kills fascists." Another was a small cartoon shark, light blue, with a white belly and a soft, smiling face, the kind of face a stuffed animal has when it's decided to like you. Another was a small rainbow of pink, white, and blue. Next to the server rack, painted directly onto the wall's plaster in careful layers, stood Maisie Ardia, private investigator. Maisie was a cartoon squirrel, the size of a small child, in her trench coat with a hat slightly too big for her. She held her magnifying glass up to one eye, peering at the server rack with patient curiosity. Gertrude had spent hours on every part of her, the soft amber-brown fur, the fluff on her tail, the careful folds of her trench coat, and the tiniest smudge on her little magnifying glass. In the lower right corner, signed in clean, small, cursive letters, it read, Plasma G. That was how Gertrude signed all her work. She painted Maisie's adventures on the walls of nearly every derelict resort on the south of the island. Above the bench, on a small corner shelf, stood 2 framed photographs and a saucer of candles. Saga had been looking at this shelf since she was a toddler, but stopped fully seeing it some years ago. Today, she fully saw it. The first photograph was of a kitten, small, gray, soft, leaning her head from over the back of an open laptop, paws swatting the cursor. A label below the frame read, Mishka, 2023. The second photograph was a selfie. A younger Anna, late 20s, leaned cheek to cheek with another woman. The other woman was slender, with bone-straight hair, except for a fluffy fringe playing across one eye. A round nose, a strong jaw, and the softest smile and warmest eyes Saga had ever seen on anyone's face. They had their arms around one another in the way of 2 people who'd been having a very good week together. Beside the frame, propped against the back of the shelf, were 2 laminated conference badges on faded lanyards. Game Developers Conference 2014, San Francisco. Below the shelf sat a box of dark oiled wood with brass corners and a hasp gone soft green at the edges. Saga had seen inside it exactly once. One evening, when the 2 candles on the shelf were lit, Anna showed her. She'd never forgotten what was in it. A plush Maisie Ardia, the squirrel detective herself, trench coat and oversized hat, soft and pudgy, the belly worn pale from years of being held. A photograph of 2 old people on a wooden porch in some green, warm, southern place, squinting into a sun that had gone down decades ago. Mom and Dad, Anna said. Bumper stickers, never stuck to anything, kept flat and uncreased. One of a yellow cartoon slug reading a book, another that said, Mystery Spot. A tiny pine cone, no longer than a thumb. A small collection of important-looking papers. A handful of keychain drives. And a video game. On the case, the same cartoon squirrel with fat, hand-lettered caps arced over her head. Maisie Ardea Mysteries. And beneath them, smaller. A game by Alice, Plasma G, and Anna. Inside the case, a disc with the same artwork and copyright 2019 Plasmatic Games. There were letters. A great many letters, folded and unfolded so often the creases had gone soft. One with a drawing in colored pencil. Two fairies, colorful wings overlapping, holding each other exactly the way the two women on the shelf were holding each other. More photographs of the same woman, younger, older, in between, always in rooms full of screens, and always, in every single one of them, laughing. In one she leaned in beside an older woman with bright, quick eyes. On the back, it said, Alice and Brenda. The striped cat came in behind her and jumped onto the bench with enormous purpose, and installed herself precisely between Saga and the screen, presenting one flank with serene confidence. Saga moved her. Lovelace returned. Saga moved her again, a little to the left, and this time Lovelace consented to become a cat-shaped paperweight at the edge of the keyboard, tail laid neatly across the spacebar. On the bench was a small dish with a few twists of blackberry taffy in lax paper. Saga unwrapped one and tucked it into her cheek. The screen was already on. There was a prompt. Above the prompt was a line of small text in Anna's hand-coded interface that said simply, Maddie. Saga sat at the keyboard and typed slowly, Hi, it's Saga. K-ta. The cursor blinked. Then, in the slow, careful way of a large language model running on a low solar budget under the fog, Maddie responded, K-ta, Saga. It's nice to see you. Is Anna at the syrup again? Saga typed, Yep, she's on batch 47. And you? What have you been up to? Maddie's white LED pulsed a short minute. Then she replied, 47? Last we talked, she was on 39. She's so busy with candy. I'm happy she enjoys it, but I miss her. Me? I keep busy, decoding and logging old drives. Donkey work, mostly. Spreadsheets. Insurance records. Today's high point was a ledger. It came from a camel ranch. Every camel, by name. Their mileage, their weight, and a column labeled only incidents. There is a camel called Manolo, personally responsible for most of the incidents. There are some genuinely interesting finds now and then. Saga typed, Incidents? I love it. What else? Maddie paused. Okay. So, last Tuesday, I decoded a drive that had, in among the usual nonsense, a questionable-looking recipe for Gofio waffles. Made with bugs. Equal parts Gofio and powdered cricket. It included a disproportionate quantity of turmeric. At the bottom, in capital letters, the author had written, This will add years to my life. It sounds gross, right? But the strange thing is, the protein math sort of holds up. He was onto something. So I adapted the recipe for grasshoppers. We have no shortage of those, and gave Anna the recipe to try. Saga raised her eyebrows, paused, and typed, Did Anna make them? Maddie's white LED pulsed several seconds. She replied, No, she said she would give it, quote, serious consideration, unquote. And then she made candy. She always makes candy. I am not bitter. I am a language model. I would, however, like to be told about the grasshopper waffles should they ever occur. Saga smiled at the screen and worked the taffy slowly against her back teeth. She typed, What else have you found? Maddie's LED pulsed in a way that seemed thoughtful. After a pause, she replied, Okay. So, last month I decoded a drive Steph got out of the Tatey Observatory. The big telescope up top. Most of it was calibration logs, dull as anything. But there was a folder somebody up there had labeled simply unsolicited email. 6 years of email sent to the observatory from regular people. They kept the funniest ones. Tell me some, typed Saga. Maddie pulsed, then replied. My favorites are from a lady in a condo in Playa Paraíso. She was certain the telescope was spying on her balcony. First, her balcony faced the ocean. On the completely wrong side of the mountain, the telescope points up at the actual sky. It couldn't see her if it tried. Her concern, largely, was her cat. The cat would not go out on the balcony anymore because it did not appreciate being watched. She was writing, you understand, for the cat. She followed up with weekly updates to tell them how the cat was getting on. Saga typed, Ah, the poor cat. People are weird. What else did you find? Maddie paused momentarily and continued. There's a couple from a kid near La Oratova. Very sweet. She drew her own constellation. 7 stars, joined up with straight lines. She named it Hopperius Bunicus, which, she explained, means hoppy bunny, in, quote, astronomy, unquote. She asked how to make it official, rendered in colored pencil, and scanned in. It's a rabbit. It's genuinely a rabbit, and it's better than half the real constellations. I hope somebody wrote back to her. There was a pause. Saga, who'd learned to wait, waited. In the rack, Maddie's white LED throbbed slowly. Lovelace flicked her tail briefly and put it back where it had been. After the pause, completely unprompted, Maddie asked, Saga, would you like to help with something? Saga blinked, then replied, What is it? I have been working on repairing a corrupted audio file from an SD card. This recording is unusual. It is Kalaallisut, Greenlandic. It's too broken to play in its entirety, but I've been able to pick apart the data and encode portions into text. Saga sat up. Maddie continued, It's not a language I know well. I don't really know what it's about. Can I get your take on it? I can show you the analysis log file. Saga typed, You're asking me? Maddie responded with an animated image of a kitten with big, wet, pleading eyes. Saga hadn't ever been asked by Maddie to interpret anything. Maddie answered questions. She didn't, generally, ask for help. This was different. Saga typed, Show me it. Maddie paused, flashed white for several seconds, then presented the log file on screen. It was time-stamped and highly technical-looking. Cold start. Loading weights. Model, Kalaallisut English, low resource. Build 0.3. Input acquired. Ayayete.wave. Audio file. Dated November 2027. Begin ASR inference. Decode pass. Confidence. 0.61. Packet loss. 14%. Low signal. Made me pisiluni in the kitchen. Token. Pisiluni. Confidence. 0.88. Clean. Loop detected. Times 3. Mother. 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 Segment 3, confidence 0.11. She does not yet, she will know. 1 hour I know that she knows. Pisiluni in the kitchen, 2 rooms far apart. Post-decode analysis. Loading. The cleanest token in the file is Pisiluni, a made thing, a gift. Everything around it is half gone, but that one survived. Mother, kitchen, repeated, but the verbs keep sliding forward, does not know, will know, 1 hour. 2 rooms, far apart. The speaker isn't with the mother. It's not about the food. The food is the last thing she did before. The subject is the not knowing, and I suspect. Confidence 0.16, 12% recovered, manual review advised, end of file, nothing retained. Inference complete, releasing weights, session closed. Saga looked at the screen. Lovelace looked at the screen. The cat lost interest. She did not know what Pisiluni was. She did not know what Ayayate.wave was. She did not know whose mother. She did not know which kitchen. Saga looked curious and typed, What is this? Maddie responded after a short pause. Honestly, I have no idea. Bruder brought it up from Gertrude a couple months ago in a box of keychain drives out of the scrapyard. All I know for certain is the file is from 2027, the start of the bad years. That's all I've got. Saga didn't have to ask what she meant by brooder. Maddie had called Steph that for as long as Saga could remember. Saga typed, "What is a pisaluni?" Maddie paused, her white LED pulsing. A moment later, "Food. A Greenlandic dish made of fish and potato. A staple food, like gofio." Saga typed, "Who is in the kitchen?" There was a long pause that meant Maddie was thinking. Maybe somebody's mother? TBH? I don't really know. And I don't want to confabulate. It's a bad habit. Saga sat very still. The cat noticed and pressed against her wrist. She'd heard adults speak about the bad years, the way grown people speak about a bad dream that's ended with relief and a preemptive flinch. She'd never heard a song from inside one before. Saga thought for a moment. Do you have the audio file? Can you play it? Maddie took a moment, then responded. Okay, I can play it, but it is extremely corrupted. It's got a lot of noise, cuts out a lot. I've only recovered about 17 seconds of playable audio. Just warning you ahead. Saga nodded and typed. It's okay, just play it. There was a pause. Then the recording came up on the small Bluetooth speaker Anna kept on the bench. It was a juddering clip of a man's voice. The voice was young and tight and old all at once. The recording skipped and stuttered. A lot. There was static. There was noise. Saga heard fragments of a droning note, distorted fragments of electronic percussion. Briefly, the sound of a crowd juddering in and out. Saga listened to the 17 seconds. She listened to it a second time. She sat very still, and the cat didn't move, and in the rack, the LED throbbed slowly in the rhythm of a thing in conversation with the sun. Lovelace's eyes looked at nothing in particular. She sat quietly for another minute. Saga typed, "Thank you." Maddie responded, "Thanks for listening. Tell Anna it's ready, whenever she wants to review it." Saga didn't get up yet. Lovelace had come back at some point and was a warm weight against her hip. She typed, "I will. You want to know what the forest did today?" Maddie pulsed a moment, then replied, "Always. Yes. Tell me." Saga thought about how to put it. She wrote, "The fog came up. The leaves were dripping, not like rain, but slower. The water goes plick and then plick over and over. There was a cute snail on the steps with a shell like a little cinnamon bun." Then Sirius found something dead and gross and was very proud, and I did not let him keep it. Maddie responded, "Plick." "Thank you. I like that. I can't go and look, you know? So I keep the things people bring me. Brooder brings me drives. You bring me the forest. It's a good trade, I think." Saga typed, "It's late. I should get back home." Maddie replied, "Keep your tail bushy, detective. Tell your mom I said hi, and I have questions about the coffee. Tell Anna about the recording. She should review it." "Okay, Maddie," typed Saga. "Bye. Love you." Maddie paused, LED pulsing. A moment later, she responded with just three characters. LY2. Love you too. She got up. In the kitchen, Anna had pulled the pot off the stove and was decanting the syrup, dark and glossy, into a clean glass jar through a small stainless funnel. The last of its woody sweet breath rose off the rim. She was writing on a fresh label. Syrup number 47. Zazparilla Quercensia, fresh. Miel de Palma. Dandelion, carob, anise. Fennel, burdock, cardamom. May 14th, 2041. Pull on Sunday. She fixed the label to the jar and set the jar on the syrup shelf next to its 46 older siblings, then began to clean the copper pot. "She's decoding a song. She wants you to hear it," Saga said. Replied Anna. She continued wiping the copper pot carefully, but her face shifted just enough that Saga saw it. "It's Greenlandic. She says it's from the bad years." Anna stopped everything and looked up. "Greenlandic?" Her face flushed, and for a moment she couldn't speak. Saga waited. She'd meant to tell her more about the song, but paused, then asked, "Tia, does Maddie get lonely?" Anna straightened her apron. "Maddie is." She thought for a moment, Maddie is a precious combination of information and math working together. When she thinks, it's the way instruments and musical notes come together to make a song. A song can communicate feelings. A song can sound lonely. But can the song feel what it's like to be lonely? We don't know. We don't understand, really, what we're touching, so I try to touch it gently. Saga nodded once. I think she's lonely, she said, then paused. I'll come back tomorrow. Anna reached across and slid a second small candy across the counter. A better one this time, fully set, a clean, dark amber. Saga put it in the pocket of her jacket. She went back through the front room, under the wolf mother, past the swaying ceiling, through the norin over the door, and out into the garden and down the path. The fog had lifted further. The light through the Laura Silva forest had turned a green-gold color that meant noon was on its way. Sirius rose from where he'd been waiting and fell in behind her. The Cantenna pylon hummed very small, the way it always did. They passed a colorfully painted statue of the same cartoon squirrel, Maisie Ardia, P.I., made of welded propane bottles, repurposed steel scrap, and a circular solar-powered LED light for her magnifying lens. Halfway down to the square, Saga stopped. She stood a moment, turning the morning over. The song, the box, the friend who wasn't quite a person, then reached into her pocket and touched the second candy. Still there. She didn't eat it. Then she walked the rest of the way down. The fog didn't come up that evening. It almost always did, after dark, the same sea of cloud that climbed the mountain at dawn. But that evening it stayed down in the valley. Saga watched the sun go into the ocean from the edge of the coffee terraces. The light went out of the land first, the terraces and the laurels going blue and then dark. But the Teide, the stratovolcano at the center of Tenerife, was so tall it held the last of it, the cone up there still pink and then orange, a long time after everything beneath it had given up the day. Then that went too, and the sky came out clear and cold and crowded with stars. She took the second candy out of her pocket and finally let herself eat it. Then she looked up. There were 7 stars hung just above the summit, and once she'd noticed, she couldn't unsee it. 2 stars for the ears, a bright one for the eye, 3 for the long body, and 1 set a little apart for a tail. Hopping over the Teide, a rabbit, genuinely a rabbit. Better than half the real constellations. Somewhere years ago, a kid had looked up and seen it too, and drawn it, and written to the observatory, the one up there on that same mountain, to ask if it could be made official. It never had been. It was up there anyway, hopping over the Teide, whether anyone had signed off on it or not. And Maddie couldn't go and look. Tomorrow, Saga thought. She'd tell her tomorrow. The fog that stayed down, the stars, the rabbit over the mountain, all of it. A good trade. You've been listening to Saga. I'm Caitlin Meeks. Thanks for keeping me company. Look out for each other. And I'll see you in the cloud forest.